America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm not Jeff Shreve, but I have the privilege of sitting in for him when he is traveling. And today is one of those days. Alex McFarland here. And we've got a great show today, a show that could be quite significant, perhaps, in your life, because we're going to talk about today one of the subjects that the Bible speaks about most frequently. Now, obviously, the Bible talks about our relationship with God, heaven, eternity, sin, the need to be forgiven. But do you know one of the top five topics that the Bible really talks about is money? Now, people will quickly say, well, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. People sometimes misquote it and they'll say money is the root of all evil. No, money is not the root of all evil. In fact, money and wealth, resources can do many great things. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But as I travel and speak, I meet so many Christians when they'll come up and maybe at a conference or a revival meeting or something, they'll say, please pray, we're in just financial straits, just in financial duress. And, you know, I believe the people of God, we are blessed, but we should understand that God entrusts things to us. And money is, in my opinion, and I might stand to be corrected here because in a moment we're going to meet an expert. Money is not so much an economic commodity, but really a spiritual commodity. Because I believe that the way we handle money and the way we view really all of life in terms of stewardship is very much a barometer of where we are in our walk with the Lord. Malachi 3:10 talks about tithing. And it says, test me in this, says the Lord. See if I will not throw open the floodgates or the windows of heaven and pour out so much of a blessing that you will not be able to contain it. In other words, when you trust God with your finances and you tithe and more, he says in Malachi 3:10 that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. The way the wording is, literally, we will not have room enough for it. And another principle about the way we handle money, and this is something that really concerns me about our country, is the principle of deferred gratification, that we wait. We don't go into debt, but we wait till we can afford something. Yesterday, we had Raymond H. Harris on, an entrepreneur, Christian philanthropist, and he said he told his daughter when she was growing up, do you want to buy a car now or do you want to wait a few years and you can own the dealership? And so I pray for God to raise up persons of affluence and influence because, listen, the gospel is free. That's true. But it does take resources to deliver that message. And so to talk about handling money and the biblical principles, but also to give us some very up-to-date insights about the state of the world and our nation financially, a colleague that I met doing radio last year, Christian Briggs. Christian Briggs is a friend and a colleague, and just like few people I've ever met, has his finger on the pulse of what's going on economically, both in America, Washington, and the world. He's with us now. Christian, thank you so much for making time to be with us this morning on the American Family Radio Network.
Well, thanks, Alex. I really appreciate being on your show, and I enjoy the conversations we've had in the past.
Indeed. For those that may be unfamiliar with you, give us a little bit of your background and your website, and then let's jump in and talk about money.
So my background is basically institutional trading for precious metals in the physical form, precious metals being gold, silver, platinum, palladium, rhodium. Our company is now 40 years old, hard asset management. And what we've done over the years is supply small to large scale institutional and retail investors. You know, people will call all the time, spend $10,000 to $20,000 on precious metals, which obviously has been very good over the last 20, 30 years as far as a rate of return. And so I've done that for 40 years, during of which I studied on my own. I would just go to the library, read online economics, and studied economics for quite some time. For the last 30 years, I've had a passion for fiscal responsibility outside what many will believe is the opposite of what DC runs on. But with that said, I've enjoyed the way of which economics play into everyday. Like math, it's the easiest language to understand. It's one of the few you can't fudge. And then, as well as the last 5 years, I've been working with members of Congress to try to understand a little bit about what the Federal Reserve was doing, some nefarious things regarding a centralized digital currency, not like crypto, which is decentralized, but more centralized, which is really the pathway to the Great Reset and the New World Order. So I continue to work on that. Just got back from DC, was in Langley, Virginia as well last week on some meetings. So we've determined that the way of which things are kind of going globally is these AI data centers are starting to put together what I said, and I've said this before, they're now about to link the four corners of the world.
Right. Yes. And those four corners being, are you speaking geographically, politically, economically? Define, if you would, the four corners.
Well, it's interesting because when SpaceX goes public here in the next 48 hours, what's going to happen is you're going to have $75 billion go to a company that's going to expand Starlink. Starlink, within the next 18 to 24 months, will connect the entire world. So once all of that happens, now you have a single individual or maybe a handful of people who centralize communications and data transmission and pretty much the entire system of government. Okay, the governing people will be centralized in just a handful of people. So the four corners of the earth will be connected through satellites called Starlink. If anybody's ever seen the movies Terminator, it was called Skynet. So the same principles apply. And that is, you're now going to have a new world order that has been propagated by the various diversification of administrations. We've had administrations that were on the left, some were in the middle, some were on the right. They were very diversified in their ideology, but they all had one commonality, and that is to either increase government, federal level, decrease it, but decrease it only marginal and still within the framework of government, to maintain a strict understanding of surveillance because of terrorism or illegal immigration. And then there's been some administrations which were just walking brain donors, but still did a huge amount of damage from the people around them, which is, of course, Joe Biden.
Yes, so exactly.
Right? So what I'm trying to say is that technology utilized in the way of which God intended it to be used to know Christ and share Christ and to live a faithful life can also be used in nefarious ways by bad actors. And now that you have SpaceX going public and with Starlink and all of the things of which $2 trillion, $3 trillion in market capitalization and net worth, just think of the power that will be held in the palm of a single to maybe a handful of individuals. So the Great Reset, which is monetary policy, the New World Order, which is a singularization of centralizing power with one world government, is now within sight.
Yeah, and I'm sure most everybody knows, but Starlink has, I believe, about 10,000 satellites, you know, floating at semi-low orbits out there, and it's been making internet available to people all around the world. That's a good thing, I suppose. But you're right. I mean, it really does create the not just the possibility, but the reality of a global surveillance state, doesn't it?
Sure. You've got three primary companies that are in the surveillance business. Number one, it'll be Starlink. Starlink has classified information. They do a lot of work within the Defense Department for military operations. Military operations are strategically within the quantum physics arena, which we can talk about that. Number two, you have Palantir. For Palantir, yes, which is by, you know, Peter Thiel and Joe Lonsdale, those two individuals, Stanford graduates from '03, worked together, started Palantir together. And here's what's interesting about Palantir. It was started in '03 as they left Stanford. Facebook started in '04. Who was the first investor in Facebook? Peter Thiel. What did he utilize Facebook for? Data collection on every human being. He knows your favorite colors. He knows where your kids go to school. See, Facebook was never about sharing information in a limited environment. In fact, it was the opposite. It was gathering information in an expanded environment when people used, and they still do, they post their kids going to school. They post their kids going to ballet. They post anniversaries, vacations. See, it was all about three things: understanding who, what, why. And everybody thought Facebook was reconnecting individuals. No, it was understanding the most intimate, the intimate things of human beings. And Palantir is the surveillance data collection, data mining company, period. That's what it does. Yes. It's all about surveillance.
And you know, so Christian, I've got to say, it shocks me how much people put on Facebook and social media, but Facebook especially, that, I mean, you know, very classified, or I should say proprietary, details about their family, their children. And I've thought that for a decade. You know, Facebook is just laying people open to whoever is data mining. It really is shocking how much we divulge about our private lives via Facebook and other platforms.
We do, and we do it because of egotistically driven methods, right? The method was the platform. The egotistic was our own insecurities or the things of which we wanted to show people, look at me, look at how this is, which is the exact opposite of what we should be doing. So now you have Starlink, you have Facebook, which integrates Instagram, you have TikTok, which is incredibly invasive in data collection, and now you have Digital ID, which is a contract that Homeland Security gave to Palantir, which Digital ID is the biometrics on every human being that integrates. So that way try to go on an airplane today, anywhere in the world, you're not going to get past that TSA or that customs or that airport security without biometrics. Biometrics will be how they allow you to either transact through centralized digital currency, which, make no mistake, look it up. It's coming to Europe in beta next year. It's coming here in 29, done deal. And this will be, as in the words of a high-ranking member of the Catholic Church, who truly is a good Christian, he said, the second they launch centralized digital currency will be the day the New World Order and the Great Reset start, period. Because now they control your money. There's no cash. And people ask me, why are precious metals such a great alternative asset? Because it's still private. It's still underlying real money. And that's why the precious metals have gone up so much in the last 5 years. People in the know, who have wealth, have seen this coming. And so we're about 3 years away from a CBDC, a short term for centralized currency. And what happens at that point is, now your transportation, your healthcare, your money, and all of the travel you may want to do will be centralized into a system like China with a social credit score, which is already being built. Facebook keeps track on everything about you. And you know right now, if you have criticism or determined to be hate speech, you say the wrong word, you offend the wrong animal these days. I mean, God forbid we call squirrels little rodents, and the squirrel starts to sue us. Well, I mean, you can't even say something or think something.
And you'll get canceled. Your life can be over. Hey, we got a break. Hang tight, folks. Christian Briggs talking to us about the state of, our privacy, our rights, and yes, money. Plus, we're going to take calls later on in the show. Then I'll give the number, even though we won't get to it till the third segment, 888-589-8840. We'll take calls. Our very special guest, Christian Briggs, on Real Truth for Today with Alex McFarland. Stay tuned. Brief break, and we'll be back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland sitting in for Jeff Shreve. By the way, we have a show every afternoon for 16 years on the American Family Radio Network. It's called Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and myself, and we'll be on today, 4 to 5 Eastern, 3 to 4 Central, and in the time zone of your choice. And we invite you to listen to Exploring the Word. And very honored to sit in for Jeff Shreve. You know, what an exciting time to be alive, because we are in a time, there's so much good going on in the world that God is doing, and the gospel is going to the very ends of the earth. But, I mean, like a Shakespearean play in its magnitude, we're in a battle of evil versus good, darkness versus light, and we all have a role to play. And somebody that really can open it up and explain it like few people I've ever known is our guest, Christian Briggs. Economic expert, precious metals expert. I got so much I want to ask you, Christian. Before I go much farther, though, give your website again, if you would, please.
Sure. It's B as in boy, M-C, B-M-C, ham, H-A-M, bmcham.com. Yeah, 41 years we've been currently in business now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, before the break, we were talking about how the world is kind of turning into a global surveillance state. You know what's interesting, Christian? 200 years ago, there were they were called infidels, but they were atheists like Bertrand Russell. Well, no, he was in the early 20th century, but like Voltaire. And they scoffed at the book of Revelation, how it would talk about, you know, Jerusalem was surrounded by armies and two witnesses lay dead in the street and the entire world could see it. And that there was an antichrist who controlled the comings and goings on every person on the planet. You couldn't buy or sell without his protocols, the mark of the beast. And there was a day when atheists scoffed at that, you know, global domination by one regime. And but hey, we're there. You know, the end time scenarios of the book of Revelation, the technology that has just explosively advanced, the loss of morality, and just the corruption among those that hold seats of power. To me, it looks like the chess pieces are on the table. What do you say?
I think that you're right. I think what we've got is, well, I'm not even going to say thing. I think it goes beyond that. We know now, conclusively, that years ago, when the 2030 timetable was thrown out, but this is a decade, oh, not even that, probably a decade, yeah, probably 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, certainly 10 for me, when World Economic Forum would talk about, oh, you'll have nothing and be happy. The 2030 agenda is about the digitalization, tokenization, which is the same thing. When you digitize something, it becomes a token of value or a measure of value is what they're trying to always say it is. And you'll have no assets. The government will own those assets. You'll have access to them as they think you need them. You'll have universal basic income. What's real scary about how fast this is materializing is the fact that Elon Musk, just a few weeks ago in an interview, talking to a gentleman, and when the guy was, I mean, asking a very sincere question, not trying to be sarcastic by any means, when he goes, oh, explain to us, you've said in the past how nobody will have any money or wealth or savings. He goes, of course not. No one's going to have it. He goes, it's astonishing to think that people still save money, for retirement, when the next 5 years, possibly no later than 10 years, they're not going to have any of that. They're going to be on universal basic. I think he calls it universal high income, but it's really called universal basic income. There are three primary ways in which they're going to try to put us into a digital prison. And number one is the limitations on the access to money, okay, through digital currency, like we said earlier in the show. Number two, they're going to basically use AI and robotics to replace 80 to 85% of human beings on the planet in any kind of work environment. There will always be some measure of humans that are going to need to be utilized within various fashions or facets within the economy and business segments. But at the end of the day, I heard 83% of the G20 currently employed individuals, from lawyers to doctors to CPAs to people working in the household, hospitality, fast food industry, will be completely replaced. Customer service people will not exist. They don't even exist now. You call customer service in areas, they've already started to utilize AI adoption for literally what they call synthetic. It's where you are thinking you're talking to a human being, but you are not. Right. And then the third thing they're going to do is, because you don't have any wealth, you have no access to any real money. So think of it as the Soviet Union. You get your little food stamps every day. The reason why Facebook is now called Meta, I'll make it very clear. Meta means basically metaverse. They don't want to put the verse on there. They're building a world to entertain us, where you'll be inside your home and you want to travel. No problem. Put your goggles on. You want to go to France? You want to go to Japan? Put your goggles on. You're not going out that front door. But you can sit in that big lazy boy in your living room. And what's interesting is, when I go to DC or I meet with billionaire hedge fund guys, and because we sell a lot of precious metals to anybody. I mean, I've had people here that call our company that spend $5,000. They're the ones who are at least enlightened enough to understand that John was right when he wrote the book Revelation, and all of the different things of which that are in that book, how real they are. You're now seeing the purchasing of precious metals in levels that are unprecedented by just even the middle class. But the upper 1%, Zuckerberg reportedly owns over $2 or $3 billion worth of gold. Jeff Bezos, $3 to $4 billion worth of gold. Warren Buffett bought $4 billion worth of gold three years ago. Why? Because they know that the paper dollar is days are numbered, and the devaluation of that asset, which is our basic principles of our dollar-based assets, is going to be converted to digital. And once that goes converted to digital, it's going to have a massive haircut in buying power. You have to. The only way Trump can get rid of the debt is to continue to raise rates, devalue the dollar, increase energy production, energy exports to bring in to increase GDP. And the only way he can buy that debt back at a reasonable level is to literally lower the level of what the debt is through devaluation. That's just the way it is. And this is what's going on with Treasury. Treasury buys 10 to 20 billion worth of our debt every week off the books. They do disclose it, but it's kind of off the books. And what they're doing is they're trying to buy the debt down, and they're doing it by increasing inflation. Trump doesn't want the Strait of Hormuz opened up. He does not want that opened up. He could care less. In fact, the whole plan was to go ahead, take Venezuela, rip the oil from China at a hugely discounted rate, increase their inflation, now they got to pay full price, repatriate that oil through us, sell it back to China at full price, make a ton of money, which is smart, take over Iran. It's not about nuclear weapon grade enriched uranium. It's not about that. That is a great story. Everybody buys into it. The real reason is that China had the entire Middle East using yuan instead of dollars for oil and gas sales. He's like, no, the China and the BRICS nation, which is the coalition of members and partners who have united in this evil, and it's what it is, it's evil scheme to undermine the U.S. financial system by de-dollarization. Trump is smart enough to see through all that nonsense. I brought that in a massive way to the attention of members of Congress years ago. They utilized so much of the information that I provided them, both on the Federal Reserve's usurping of congressional authority to make a CBDC in the commercial sense. They actually made it for retail through FedNow. And then I showed them how the BRICS nations were accumulating billions a day worth of gold as an undermining way to, again, hurt the financial system by trying to hurt the dollar in both usage and reserve assets. And Trump said, okay, great, let's take that information and let's use that against them. So Iran is really about bringing the dollar back as the number one reserve asset currency, because right now it's gold and the euro. Two, taking the oil, the Middle East, which many of the Middle East countries are members of this BRICS coalition, which China started back in 12, which is Russia, South Africa, India, and a coalition of them. And then it's expanded to about 21 countries, members and partners, and try to break them as best they can. The problem is that the European Union hates Trump. Many people within his own government, which is terrible to think and say this, but he's got great people around him. But we all know he's still not popular by the overall majority, who are socialists and communists within the United States government.
Certainly not by the inside the Beltway people in Washington.
No, absolutely not, Alex. And that's the whole point, is that he is a great man with great things to do. And I've sent, in the last 6 months, I've sent up tons of white papers on both quantum computing, about increasing the effectiveness of what gold can do to backstop the treasury market, which he's looking at now, doing a gold-backed treasury, as well as increasing funding for quantum, which is quantum and overachieves the speed. Quantum is a speed of intelligence that can do calculations, to keep it very simple, commands, instances within a quadrillionth of a second, and that is a big deal. And I won't go into the details of how big it is, but let's just say it's the keys to the kingdom, period. It's the keys to the kingdom. You achieve full quantum, okay, you're going to be able to crack every code, change that code in such a rapid speed or rapid pace that it's impossible to be able to catch it. It's gone. It's left the station. That spaceship is so far close now past the outer limits of our solar system, we can never catch it. And so he is desperately trying to fix that, Alex. And so
don't you remember Bill Gates and Steve Jobs used to say life at the speed of thought?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like data transmission on the quantum level, isn't it?
It's even faster than that sometimes, because here's another thing. During the Biden administration, this guy was so corrupt. Joe Biden was corrupt from the moment he lied to get through law school. He admitted he lied through law school.
Yeah,
he was at the
exactly.
very bottom of his class. He lied. He was a corrupt individual from day one. There was no attractive traits in him. He had character flaws that go far beyond our understanding. So did, and his son was an example, was a carbon copy of Joe Biden. Remember, leadership is what we look to. Leadership creates an environment, and the environment reflects leadership, which is the people, okay? And so Trump, in his first term, they try to distract this poor guy, and he is a great man, and he has done so much he's given so much, and he doesn't ask anything in return. And then Biden steals the election. I'm going to say it because I know for a fact they stole the election. If you don't
absolutely.
Know that by now.
In 2020.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, even Stevie Wonder can see they stole this election. Okay. Let's just be here.
Okay.
And then here comes Trump. Boom. Slam dunk in number two. And he's being handed two things. China blackmailed Biden. She called Biden, said, you're going to get out of Afghanistan. You got 30 days. There's no way a reasonable country can move and mobilize an entire military operation in 20 years and be out in 30 days. But bottom line was Biden had 30 days to get out, or they were going to expose him for even more corruption. They had more evidence on him. And that's why 2 days later, after we were out after 30 days, the Taliban cuts a deal with China for a 28-year joint cooperation trade agreement for what? Lithium. What's lithium for? Well, I'm glad you asked, Alex. Mm-hmm. Batteries, electric vehicle batteries, which is one of the focal points of China.
Yeah. Hey, I've got to ask this. And by the way, folks, Alex McFarland here, our very special guest, Christian Briggs. We are in the third segment. Just a few moments from now, we're going to take phone calls. And it could be about your handling of money, the stewardship of your family's finances, could be about world events, rare opportunity to pick the brain of one of the great Christian thinkers and leaders of our time, and the number is 888-589-8840. And I've got the call computer right here in front of me, 888-589-8840, if you have a question. Christian, I've got to ask you, is the U.S. dollar still the world's, you know, reserve currency? I mean, if you Google, I mean, there are, you know, it's like the strength of the dollar is in about like 10th place behind Kuwait and a number of other nations. Where does our dollar stand, and does our ballooning national debt just hourly compromise the dollar?
Well, the dollar right now is still the number one transactional currency in the world, no matter where you're at. It's about 49 to 51%. If you do it a quarterly basis, you can't always, you know, measure it daily, but Trump's trying to increase that usage dramatically to increase the demand for dollars, increases the demand for our debt. But in doing so, he also realizes it was at one time the world's reserve currency. Those days are gone. Doesn't mean they can't come back. Gold is number one. Two is the euro and or silver. And then from there, you've got the pound and so forth. So what we're, and I'm about to send more white papers. White papers are basically detailed explanations on various subject matters that go into an extremely high level of understanding to be able to execute on three primary things: cause, effects, and solutions. What are the cause of the situation? What are those causes affects us? How do they affect us domestically or international, both on economic and national security policy? And number three, which is very rare these days with politicians, they'll tell you everything that's wrong by who. Like, this guy is bad, so there's your cause. He's bad because he does this kind of stuff. There's your effects. They never give you solutions. My studies in both physics of economics and physics of actual quantum allows me to be able to utilize the value of those things at the very highest level of understanding to be able to put solutions. See, Jesus was very clear on his message.
Hold that thought. We've got to pull away for a break. Alex McFarland here along with Christian Briggs. We'll get to calls and questions and more on this edition of Real Truth for Today. Please stay tuned.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, by the way, welcome back to the program. AlexMcFarland.com is my website. We're on the beginnings of a two-year tour called Revive US. We've got some great speakers coming, and Eric Metaxas, myself, I'll be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, June 20th, a free Saturday night seminar about worldview and living as a Christian and a patriot, present and future. Please go to AlexMcFarland.com. My very special guest today, Christian Briggs. Christian, give your website again, please, if you would.
Sure. It's BMCHAM, Bravo Mary Charlie, Ham, BMCHAM.com. You can check out our website, and there's a toll-free number. You can call us at any time.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to take some calls. We're going to begin in Texas. John in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome to our conversation with Christian Briggs.
Hey, Christian. Thank you so much. By profession, I'm a fiduciary financial advisor, and always believed in metals and having, you know, clients have metals in portfolios, and been watching all what's going on with technology and job replacement. And, you know, my question to you, of course, it's more apparent, you know, it's the only real currency, I guess, since the beginning of time. You know, a lot of what I recommend is pre-1932 coins. And I would just want to get your opinion on that. What, you know, portfolios even more so need these valuable metals now. Not real happy with the way the funds are structured and how those trusts are structured behind them. So give me a little input on that, if you would, and for the folks out there, what you think would be the best thing to do to add to the portfolios.
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me tell you the number one, it's number one metal and metal group. You're seeing some of the fastest growth in nuclear energy fission. Okay, fission is created with platinum, palladium, and rhodium. It goes to create the fusion. Now they're going into fusion directly with SMR, small modular reactors. We are moving to a nuclear energy world. By 2030, nuclear energy will have doubled in the usage. By 2035, it'll be up about 25 to 30 fold globally. Precious metals is critical. Platinum, palladium, and rhodium is your number one bet. In fact, just to kind of take it a step further, if you look at, okay, again, look at the complexity of green energy and how stupid all that narrative was on it. And now we're all, and if you look at Europe, they're now turning back on their nuclear energy program. Both Germany and the EU have succumbed to the ideas that wind and solar and hamsters on a treadmill are not going to power a world. Okay. God bless those big hamsters. But nuclear energy. So I would advise your client, and by physical, obviously physical is the best way, just in case there's a rainy day or something collapses and the power grid goes out. You don't want to have it somewhere else. You want to have your fingertips. Platinum, palladium, and rhodium are depleting, diminishing, and it's one of the few things that you can't recycle the bulk of it. Because why? Because it's used in nuclear energy, nuclear, weapons too, a lot of different military applications. That's a little classified. But the nuclear energy portion is the fact is it becomes radioactive. Now, they have found ways to try to deactivate those radioactive isotopes, but at the end of the day, you still have a diminishing and depleting in-ground known reserves of platinum, palladium, and rhodium. And number two, Russia, which in South Africa, which mines the bulk of those metals, is not going to give us any because they're building out with China some of the most aggressive expansion of nuclear energy in history of the world. So if you're going to be in metals, buy something that's soundly fundamental, that is going to become rare by the year, and demand will outstrip supply, even the above ground known supplies.
Wow. Thank you very much, John. We're going to stay in Texas. We're going to go to James in Texas. James, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Alex. Hello to you and Christian. I would like to submit for Christian's thought in your comments one redeeming benefit of Joe Biden, his family, and his administration. They definitely helped out one Georgia family. They moved the Jimmy Carter family off the list of the worst presidents we've ever had.
Huh, yes, I've heard that. That's true. Thank you for that. Let's go to Elizabeth in Virginia. Elizabeth, you there?
Yes, I am. I feel like I'm so privileged to be in the presence of you two geniuses. Alex, you served my family so well. Thank you. And
to God be the glory.
Amen. And Mr. Briggs, you are so perfectly placed here. We are like-minded people, you and I, and I appreciate your expertise. My husband and I have been considering, we have some physical gold, we have some gold shares, we have some precious metals, and we even have LEU and SMR, which you're just talking about. But my next thing is to invest in maybe some more property, and how would that be affected by a one world, one digital currency, if we owned more real estate?
That is a great question. How is all these things going to be affected? I'm going to tell you this. If you look up, and this is not something that they're keeping, you know, they always say Luciferians will always tell you what's coming. So that way they told you in advance, you can't blame them when it happens. If you look up Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, BlackRock, Blackstone, and look at how aggressively they're tokenizing everything. Let me explain to you what tokenization means. Token is basically an algorithm. It's a measure of value of sorts. When you have a mortgage or you have a deed to your house or you have a title to your car, that's a contract. That's a contract that clearly states, I own this. Whether there's debt or lien against my property, you still have some type of ownership, a contractual understanding between you, the mortgage company, or if it's paid for, let's say the county or the city, which holds the, and clearly has the showcases title. And no, there's no question you own it. However, when you digitize that piece of paper in the blockchain, which is a centralized digital ledger, which is what they're building, not a distributed or a decentralized, it's going to be centralized, DHL, you can look this stuff up. Once they put that in a centralized blockchain, DHL, now they have the control of the value of the asset, and that's called tokenization into a smart contract. That's bad. You never want to ever be held hostage of your own wealth, your assets, when you want to sell them, where you have to get permission and somebody holds the encryption key that unlocks the ability to transfer that on the blockchain. So know this and look this stuff up. Citibank just announced that they're going to tokenize everything. I mean, we're talking about full scale digitalization of all assets being controlled by centralization of power. So when you're looking at real estate, people have said, well, what happens if they digitize my deed to my house or my title to my car? Yeah. Well, you better hope the right person it has the right mindset, hopefully the right heart, because you get somebody that's a bad actor, we're all going to be in a world of hurt. So look this kind of stuff up.
Yeah. Hey, Christian, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, there were these non-fungible tokens, NFTs, where they might just be a meme or something silly like a little JPEG or a sports card. And I remember some of these were trading for $100,000, and you're thinking, wow, a file that would be... and a lot of people were taken in by this, and there were emojis and different things. But I really think the rollout about 4 or 5 years ago of non-fungible tokens was kind of a dress rehearsal to get people comfortable with the idea of the tokenization of what previously had been hard assets. Am I right on that?
You are 100% correct, Alex. And the way you said it was perfect. When you look at hard assets like real estate, precious metals, rare cars, rare watches, let me tell you this. If you look at the rare art market, the rare watch market, and the gentleman that was on earlier, the pre-1932 rare coins and the rare coin market, off the charts. We had a dip last year on part of that because when Trump took office, there was a little bit of like almost a breath of fresh air. People had already started to buy hard assets in 21, 2, 3, and even into 24 under Joe Biden, he was going to do an unrealized capital gains tax. And then Kamala Harris pushed that narrative even further, which was insanity. A 25 or a 30% tax on unrealized gains on an asset. It's ludicrous, but they were going to do it. So there was a big rush to buy hard assets that would negate or at least circumvent that in a legal way, of course, that a way of which they were going to try to oppose or oppress us with this tax. Fast forward today. Now the fear is everything is going to be digitized. Your wealth is going to be stripped because of that. Now rare watches, rare cars, rare coins, rare art, all of it's going up. The platinum group metals going up fundamentally because we are going to be a world of nuclear energy. You're going to have your house will be powered by nuclear energy and your cars will be done by hydrogen. All platinum and palladium is in those things. So the whole dynamics and shifting as one should always look at where the trends are and fundamentally in the various asset classes. And then you also want to identify the various assets within each class, looking at the long-term growth potential. These are the places. President Trump is buying gold. The administration has been buying platinum and palladium in various ways because they have to have it for nuclear energy and nuclear weapons. They have contractors that will get it and apply those metals to the various things of which the government sends out and needs. But know this, we are about to become a world of digitalization on a centralized digital ledger. And we're going to, at some point, if we're not careful, 28 can change the balance of power very easily, as we know. We will have to ask permission to be able to even go anywhere, if we can go, or to sell and to create and to maintain wealth.
And let me say this, and I want to get some more calls in. And Christian, we got to do some more radio. But folks, everything, you know, you buy, let's say you buy a ticket to the local baseball game. And more, they don't want you to print the ticket or give you a paper ticket. They want you to put it in your Apple wallet. And the hyper-digitalization of everything, it's control. And listen, you could have a classic car in the garage, or you could have a house and some land, but if it is off-grid and not digitalized, it's something you cannot move, and it's almost worthless. It's almost worthless. We're going to go to Mississippi. Haywood in Mississippi, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you very much. And first, thank you for bringing this to the forefront for the American public, because most of the people I know don't have a clue about what's about to come down the road. Yeah. Number two, I keep hearing by 2030. What is the significance of 2030 according to all this information you're giving us? Thank you.
Thank you. What do you say, Chris?
Wait, he said $20 liberties? Is that what he said?
2030, the year 2030. We're constantly hearing the year 2030. Oh. How's that significant?
Well, great question. Whoever that was, that guy got it. Okay. Write this down, everyone listening. You have to understand and look this up. The E-Euro, European Euro, is the digital replacement for the paper Euro currency, like the dollar. Okay, the Euro is obviously does Western and Eastern European countries with part of the EU membership. You know, remember, it's held the European Union. We all know what unions are. Okay, think about that for a second. So they're replacing their paper currency with a de facto digital version. They're going to be beta testing that starting mid next year. And then full rollout is supposed to be expected January of 29. Consequently, how about this? Is this the way of which the U.S. Congress attached to the FISA bill, which is what we talked about earlier, okay? They're attaching a mandate that would mandate that a central bank, CBDC, or let's call it a D dollar, digital dollar, would be issued starting January 1st of 29. Isn't that a coincidence? How simultaneously they're trying to enact the ability to launch these two nefarious means of monetary reset to control us in a communist manner, communist environment. So by 2030, the world would be cashless. That's the significance. When the World Economic Forum was started in early 71, think about what happened in 71. They knew, Henry Kissinger knew he could convince Nixon to take us off the gold standard. So, and Nixon needed to do it in his mind. Kissinger said, look, if you want to be reelected in 72, we're coming into a massive recession. You've got to inflate the money supply to increase credit to be able to increase the standards of, well, wealth or income or wages. So he goes, oh, sure, sounds like a great deal, Henry. Let's do this. So we go off the gold standard, which is the dollar for dollar backing of gold for every dollar printed, right. one for one ratio. Yeah. We go off it on August 15th of 71. What happens to the dollar within 6 months? It loses 30% of its buying power. What happens to gold? It triples. So now 74 comes around, inflation's running high, and all of a sudden Henry Kissinger goes, I got a better idea. Let's go to the Middle East, create the petrodollar, 50-year contract with the Middle East and the countries of which were part of the OPEC consortium.
Hey, I'm so sorry. We're almost out of time. Monica in Florida, Sharon in Alabama. I am so sorry. Christian, we're going to get you back ASAP. There's so much to talk about. And here's another thing. Seeds. Heirloom seeds versus copyrighted, reproducible vegetable seeds. I know you've got something to say about seeds and agriculture too, probably, don't you, Christian?
Sure. You know, everything is GMO. Everything is GMO, modified seeds. Monsanto.
Hey, we got a break, man. Folks, thanks for listening. Just remember, our hope is in Jesus. He never fails. He never abandons us. Be encouraged. These are tough times, but keep your eyes on Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.